Under the Stone of Destiny, Chapter 3, Cleaning Up. Constable Farrell had a late breakfast and read the reports of the guards. Two had done a preliminary investigation. They had no doubt that a substantial quantity of oils and spirits had been poured in. They'd found an abandoned flatbed wagon with a tarpaulin and empty kegs. The four masked horsemen that left in the early hours via the west gate after assaulting the two guards had obviously been responsible for the arson. A tracker and a party of guards had been dispatched even as the fire was discovered. Competent killers would have killed the guards rather than having them raise the alarm. The mail arrived, a stroke of good luck. The chief constable of Dalranath City took the story very seriously, as Miriam Corinos's father had been a successful gem merchant and jeweller. He apologised that the original inquest hadn't looked at what assets Miriam Corinos would historically have had. He'd quietly found her father's will and executor records of the assets. The constable wrote a letter explaining the developments of the previous night, and he got the clerk to send it by semaphore, though in code, as well as regular mail. Still nothing to arrest Lord Adair for. He'd have to get a certified copy made of Kevin's papers today, because Kevin might move on now. Or perhaps he needed to arrange a safe passage somewhere. Who exactly were Megra and Galoric? He had his clerk get a professional scribe and a local notary. The three of them would sign and seal the copies. He went to Beth's house.
"Barry is over at the ruins," said Beth. "I'm on paid leave till he either gives up or gets something sorted. He's not sure which. He wanted me to keep the kids here quietly. You copying something?"
"I need to make a copy of Kevin's papers."
"They're all in the kitchen," she said. "You can use the dining room. Did Barry tell you Galoric and Kevin are Magi and Megra is some kind of important princess? He sometimes forgets to explain things. Galoric only stopped by temporarily. He's boined for Dunraglan College. It was meant to be only for a few days. I don't know why he has stayed so long. Something to do with Megra or Kevin, I think. Kevin and Galoric have already discussed leaving soon before this attack."
"Thanks, Beth," he said. "That helps a lot."
They went in and Beth brought Kevin. She lit all the lamps.
"I need to make a copy of your papers," he said. "Routine. Do the dwarf and elf have papers?"
Galoric certainly had yesterday," Kevin said. "He probably saved his wallet. I've an idea Megra may have no papers as such. You wouldn't send her back to the elves."
"Back," said the constable. "If there are elves looking for her, that's entirely their problem, not mine. If she has committed no offence against the Tuatha or in our villages, towns or cities, she has nothing to fear. She looks grown up enough to take care of herself."
Kevin took off his boots.
"Inside the boots, I'll explain to Galoric and Megra. It's not great to leave them alone together, as they are trying so hard to be polite they can annoy each other, or something. Maybe it's just a boy and girl thing."
Kevin realised that must sound very odd considering an elf and a dwarf. The constable smiled at Kevin as he left. He easily found a set of papers in each boot, wrapped in oilcloth and then in silk. One was certification of parentage, signed and sealed too, by Lord Aldair as father. Another was surprising and a little harder to read because it was from the capital of Tuath, who spoke a different Tuatha dialect. The scribe looked at it.
"It's a certification of marriage about 4 years before Kevin was born," explained the scribe. "It seems quite valid."
Miriam would have had it and, for whatever reason, gave it to Kevin instead of lodging it at the courthouse. Kevin obviously didn't realise this is the Tuaisn version of a marriage registration. Kevin is heir, no matter what, eventually. And the jewellery isn't stolen. If it's a fake, which is possible, then his father maybe did steal the jewels, and Kevin isn't the heir. Either way, it's confusing. There could be other documents we don't know about. Perhaps they divorced, or Miriam Colrinus gave her property to Lord Aldea. The third and fourth was bafflingly two sets of personal papers. The usual internal passport, which, despite being called papers, was usually a single sheet. One had him as Kevin Aldea, and the other as Kevin Colrinus.
Make copies of all four, said the constable. Are we agreed that the parentage is clear and matches all known facts?
The scribe and notary agreed.
The other three, he said, we copy and note on them the problems. The marriage isn't verified and doesn't agree with the inquest. That can be cleared up quickly by the Druids. The two personal papers are mutually exclusive and depend on the marriage veracity. Why both exist and why Kevin has both is a mystery. They all agreed. The constable signed the margin of four blank sheets and wrote his comments.
I'll add my seal when I'm done.
He left the scribe to it and went to the kitchen. Galoric showed him his 2 issued papers and cancelled Cranachan clan tokens. Constable Farrell looked at the marks.
You're a wizard? Or will be? He asked in common.
Yes, I'm going to Drunraglan College,
Glorick replied in common.
I was just helping Barry out for a few days, returning a favour, which somehow extended to a few weeks.
That's fine. You did a wonderful job saving the others too.
He handed back everything to Glorick and sat opposite the even paler than usual elf girl, the young Lorinoch woman.
No, Megra, he said in common. I'm guessing you're technically an adult, nearly grown up. There's no question of me sending you back to any elves.
I know that, said Megra. That's why I'm staying in 2 realms. Kevin has had a sheltered upbringing. Sorry, Kevin. He can understand me because he's a telepath of sorts. He can't hear anyone else's thoughts. He can send his thoughts to me. He only knows the local Larnian. What do you want?
Just proof of who you are, he said. Routine. Eliminate all the noise from the inquiry. I'm pretty sure this isn't an elvish attack. Besides, four horsemen are involved. That's not elvish style.
No. A quiet knife job with no public disturbance, she said. Also, never inside the 2 realms, only outside your village. Towns or cities?
Megra passed him a large brooch that might fasten a heavy cloak. He examined it closely. Only the very exalted levels of royalty of the high elven houses had something like this. He took out a burning glass and peered at it. It had a beautifully worked portrait of Megra, possibly done the customary year after leaving childhood. Tens of thousands of coloured glass threads mounted end on and fused together. He couldn't read High Elvish, but could see the letters easily. He had an idea that it included a date, as he recognised the counting symbols.
It reads, she explained, Megra, High Princess of her generation, Royal House Hiranidhi, as well as my birth date, the year 7316 and day 245, which means I'm nearly 19.
Megra started to get angry.
It means I'm the first ranking princess of the most arrogant, insufferable people of the entire world, technically the heir. I'm an only child of a second wife. The first died with no children. Of all the elves in the world, only my father, the Emperor of Hiranidhi, ranks higher. Even the elves that hate us more than dwarves hate us except that. But he wants
me to marry that old bumbling fool, his sister's son. I could call him some other things, but I have to think of Kevin, so I ran off. It seems even Galoric's folk and other dwarves have been delicately quizzed. They'd rather believe that a wild animal ate me, or some sex-crazed dwarf had his way and then killed me, as is the tradition, though more used to scare bad children than reality. I've never heard of these elves killed by dwarves, nor has Galoric. It seems to me they'd rather hunt animals. No one ever suggested that dwarves eat elves. Really, it's only rhetoric from uneducated bigots. People don't talk like that on the other continents. I must remember that about eating elves, said Galoric. A good point. We only hunt what we eat. There is a lot of rhetoric. Then they go out and hunt boar. Even humans love a good roast boar. The best thing Tuath D bought from Ireland. There's no doubt that elves and dwarves have fought in the past in Magnail and generally can't stand each other. Megra and I are trying to be polite to each other. But what I think is dwarfish courtesy, she sees as mortal insult, and vice versa. Except I'm a thick-skinned, ignorant boy, so I annoy her by not even noticing her selfish sacrifices. Most days, though, we manage.
You're both obviously who you claim to be, the constable stated. Personally, neither of you seem completely typical for an elf or a dwarf. I promise not to tell anyone, but I can't resist asking. Megra, you really work for Barry as a skivvy and scullery maid and work with meat products. Doesn't he know who you are?
I only work with the non-meat areas, she explained. He and Beth are very particular that raw meat is separate from everything, and that even smoked, cured, dried or cooked meat is separate from vegetables. Something Dryads taught his grandfather. Meat is dangerous to spread illness. Raw meat is worse than dirt. Dirt spreads illness. I only move safe meat, the preserved, cured kind. I don't cook meat. I only serve it to those eating any. Also, I know that Barry, while a meat eater, like the Kranikin that you call dwarves, is very careful for his customers and doesn't overindulge. So my conscience is clear. Barry perhaps doesn't quite appreciate what I once was. Anyway, I've repudiated my birth status. I have to make my own way. Walking up to people and saying, I'm a princess, take care of me, isn't much good. Maybe I learned to be a master baker like Beth. I don't know yet.
I'm amazed, he said. A recommendation for a purveyor of meat products from an elf. Elves here famously don't cook or eat cooked food, and no meat or regular dairy. Yet you contemplate being a baker. I must go. Thank you. He looked at Kevin. I'm sure the others have finished, he said in Larnian. It must be strange only understanding what Megra is saying by telepathy.
It's even stranger often what Megra says.
Can you explain why you have two mutually exclusive internal passports?
People are often known by their mother's name, insisted Kevin.
Yes, but you usually only get one set of papers using either parent's name or both, not two sets.
It's what Mum gave me, explained Kevin. She said I'd know which would be better to use. She must have had some inkling that bad things would happen. She told me not to let anyone know I had them, or the other two papers. I don't know what one of them is exactly.
It's your parents' marriage certificate. They married in Tuas's capital.
I wondered if it might be that. But at the inquest they said my parents weren't married. I'm relieved, though I don't understand why my father has said and done what he did.
In the dining room, the constable examined the copies and paid the notary and scribe. He gave Kevin back his originals.
You need somewhere safer for those, he said, though the copies help. The first place I'd look would be the boots. Lord Aldair mustn't be very bright.
He's not stupid at all. but I hid my boots at the time in plain sight in the stable boot cupboard. I didn't get to keep my horse, though.
The three of you shouldn't go out or talk to anyone coming to the door. You do realise what the aim of the attack was?
Put Barry out of business, suggested Kevin.
No, explained the constable. He doesn't have any enemies, not serious death in the night kind. Not till he took you in. Certainly not among his competitors. They are all careful to be only slightly competitive, yet make it look hard for a newcomer. There is no new businesses. Someone wanted to kill you.
Megra mentioned a threat, but it was vague.
He left to talk to Barry and let him know about the news from Dalrynath City.
People had given up their own time, in some cases closed their shops. The site was getting cleared. A wooden frame had risen on the side of the rear wall. A path was clear to the cellar. Work had started on a second frame at the front. There were three lamps and a desk in the cellar. Barry was talking to the biggest joinery shop owner, who had his oldest apprentice taking notes.
We can be back up and running in a few days, Barry claimed enthusiastically, as all the ovens are fine. A wooden frame building with tarred felt and canvas panels. Then we build masonry around the outside and replace the internal panels with lath and plaster. I'm adding a garret with two rooms.
So your book, coin and stores and equipment are all fine?
Yes, well, he said, it was bad to lose all of the front building, even though it was old and cramped. That's actually not a huge loss. Some stock in the shop. Furniture, almost all my ordinary personal effects, and all the kitchen gear is actually nearly as bad. But Galoric saved our lives. I did save the important stuff in my room, though. Fortunately, nothing was in the office, as I put it in the cellar each night for security.
You know, it was almost certainly attempted murder of Kevin.
Well, I think so. You saw them?
Yes, said the constable. Miriam Colrinos may have been very wealthy. She may have been Lord Aldair's wife. Look at these copies and notes we added. Also the letter from the constable in the city. The constable explained all he'd found out. Barry smiled.
It's nice to be right, he said. I was suspicious from when I met Kevin. What do we do next?
You get your business sorted, he frowned. But you won't like the next bit. Otherwise, you do nothing. Leave the investigating to me. If there is something useful you can safely do, I'll let you know.
But Kevin is at risk when whoever it is discovers he's not dead, said Barry.
I've told the news hounds that there were three bodies found. They can't come back. I think if we give them some money, horses, and send them quietly to Northraglan College at night, I think I'd spare three guards too. They can bring back the horses.
But Magus isn't a Magus, said Barry. Kevin said so, and Galoric would have mentioned it if she was.
She seems pretty amazing, though. The guards and horses will be back here before Dunraglan College figures what to do with her. Also, she's the only person that can demonstrate Kevin's magic, though that's just training. She can quietly return and go back to work here.
Yeah, Barry mused. You're right. I can't find staff, and I can't take my coin with me. I'll give a generous back pay. I was going to pay them eventually once they learnt a bit. Apprentices don't get paid. Beth was training Megra. Really, I should pay Kevin something for the bookkeeping. We should send him off after dark, if the guards know the way well enough. I'm coming to Beth's for supper anyway. I think 1,000 crowns reward to Galoric. 20 crowns pay for Kevin and 10 crowns for Megra. I hope Megra comes back.
Go on, double it, said Constable Farrell.
Only if you never tell anyone. I do regard where it's earned. Look at what Beth has paid.
I've no idea what you pay her,
Barry flipped pages of a ledger and pointed.
Right, you do rue a guard, Excellence, he agreed. No doubt you're terrified she'd leave and work for someone else. The question is, who is behind the attack on Kevin?
The Ardrahador in the Black Tower, insisted Barry, known as the Evil Enchanter. I think, though, this far south he's having difficulty hiring professional help.
I guess that makes as much sense as anything, said Farrell. He frowned. Would you like to enlighten me further?
So Barry explained what Kevin had said about the bookkeeping and what he'd overheard.